All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? I'm Scott from Koenig, and this is Mike Sabunchi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, that's right. So, Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Right. That's exactly right. So if you're out there in the interweb, you might know Mike from Driving Line TV. He puts out some really good content there with the folks from Driving Line. We'll kind of dive into that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's cool to put context for people that may not know you.
Sure.
You have a long history in the media segment.
Tenured.
We could talk about the Super Street thing for a second,
yeah.
but before, let's give them the rundown real quick.
Yeah. Okay. Quick resume. Super Street for 4.5 years.
That's right.
Hoonigan for just about a year.
Right.
Short-lived. We'll get into that later.
No
but
problem.
Actually, they bring up a good point. We'll get into them in a second. Then freelance for a while, and then Driving Line, which is a subsidiary of Nitto Tire. And I kind of think, though, I don't want to spill the beans on this episode, but Driving Line exists because Nitto believes in content marketing.
Right.
And instead of going into other platforms, they created their own. And that's why Driving Line exists. Right?
Right.
To think.
I know.
Someone said, hey, this is going to work. And they said, okay, let's try it.
Let's go all in.
Well, it took us a while to get there. Driving Line's been around for 8 years.
Well, if you really compare it to what most of the automotive industry is doing, they went all in.
Yeah, 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 that's true.
So, you know, that's kind of the quick resume, and so we'll dabble around a little bit before we jump in. But, I think the context for people out there is we get a lot of requests and talk about sponsorship.
Right.
And we've put out a few podcasts about sponsorship. And what's interesting about the sponsorship ones is they seem to be our most listened to podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Just drop the word sponsorship in the search terms here, and we'll get 10 more views.
Right. Exactly right. So I wanted to bring some real contextual information on sponsorship and kind of the digital marketing space.
Sure.
So this may be a little dry for some. But if you are looking to do anything or kind of, you know, you have a business or you have anything like, you're putting out your own content, you're trying to get sponsorships, this is going to be one of those conversations that you really should absorb, listen to, and we'll kind of narrate the space.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. It all boils down to, and we'll narrate the space, like Scott said, it all boils down to what are you going to provide other than table stakes. And table stakes are, yes, you go to some events, yes, you probably have a great resume, or maybe you sent a DM on Instagram, but what value are you going to give this company or any company if they give you X or they even open your email?
Yeah. And so there's a lot to it, right? And so specifically into the digital content space.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that you spend so much time doing is developing content.
Yeah.
And we can dive into this in a little bit. But, you know, there's so many different forms of content.
Mm-hmm.
There's long form, short form, and everything in between.
Yep.
And mediums. And, now we're watching organic reach on, you know, Facebook's done as far as organic reach, pretty much. The ship has sailed.
Yep.
We're watching Instagram organic reach dive off a cliff.
Sure.
I mean, it's happening, so... You know, hey, sorry. We're about to see a lot of people that have spent their entire time rolled into Instagram suffer a serious death.
Correct. However, there are options within the platform that they can think about.
That's interesting. So we went there. So let's go there, right?
So, again, rolling it back to sponsorship and value and the entire ecosystem of content.
Yep.
So why are you creating content? What do you have to say or what do you have to provide that's of value? Think of somebody like a B is for Build. He's going to walk you through how to build an entire Lamborghini or how to build a V10 swapped 240Z. I mean, that kind of stuff is just addicting to watch because people want to see how it's done.
Yeah.
Go to a brand like Hoonigan. What are they providing? They're providing entertainment, really.
Yeah.
But they're also using the platform to sell products or highlight a product. So with Instagram, we can get into platforms here. every time a platform releases a new feature, for example, Instagram released IGTV about a year ago, two years ago.
Yeah.
Jumped on IGTV, you got 100,000 views overnight.
Yep.
Facebook released Live 4 years ago. Goldfoot Facebook Live, you could broadcast your hand doing nothing, you get 500,000 views because it's a new feature, they're pushing it. So what Instagram is doing now, and again, this, by the time you watch this episode, there's probably another feature on another platform that you're going to have to jump on. So I'm not saying jump on Instagram TV. I'm saying when there's a new feature, you got to be the pioneer on it. And what Instagram TV did now is they do series.
Yep.
So when you upload your series or episodic content to Instagram TV and you say, hey, this is part of a series, episode one, series one, or whatever, then they will prioritize that into the top of the feed and they will push it out.
Right.
Hey, this page you like that you've been following has a new episode out and you'll see it in your timeline.
Yep.
So yes.
Right. So there's a lot of pieces and you know, kind of to not spend a lot of time on that one platform, but to kind of segue off of what you said with other platforms. That's kind of what's happening with TikTok right now.
Yeah.
So for people that are kind of rushing the space, I think there's a little bit of thoughtfulness that businesses can apply there right now because it's still trending very young. So you need to decide if it kind of makes sense for your content, for your viewership, and kind of what you're trying to do.
Sure.
But, you know, within that space, there's this other topic.
Yeah.
And this is something that we were actually chatting about yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with a depth of a conversation versus the width.
Sure.
And this sometimes follows long format content, and this podcast is a great example of that.
Very deep conversations on this podcast.
If you're listening to this podcast on iTunes or Google Play or anything like that, head over to our YouTube channel and look at the view count on this video.
Right.
It might be a few hundred views, right? The thing is that when it comes down to that viewership, this is long format content.
Yep.
This is not a quick, you know, this is not a 30-second clip. This is not a one-minute clip. This isn't a 10-minute video. This is most likely going to be
30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Right. And
as
so,
long as our editor can make it within 40 minutes.
That's right. So when it comes down to that, it becomes – he's putting himself in.
There you go. Thanks, Nick.
When it comes down to that, one of the things that you need to understand about long-format content is that it's not everything for everybody.
Sure.
But – the people that are giving you that watch time, it becomes very, it resonates with them deeply, right? And the engagement that you're going to see on that content becomes even more important sometimes than a million likes.
Do you remember when I first saw you day one of CMU and you said, hey, Mike, look at the views on this IGTV. I go, hey, that's great.
Right.
What about the comments?
Right.
And you go, oh, yeah, let's look at the comments.
Right. And we had, luckily, we had already thought about that. That video came out a while ago, but we were commenting on it because... And that's why, like, if you go to our Instagram right now, you'll notice that we comment on a lot of things. I mean, we try to really be in our comment section 100%. And especially for a company that operates like a Nitto and a Driving Line that has a lot of content, you know, what is your strategies there? Like, how do you really, you know, use that engagement for, one, I guess, feedback, and two, to kind of be able to interact?
Sure. So... I think what we're covering here is it's not just like saying, hey, here's comments, but the value of the engagement on each platform.
Right.
And that's what you need to have when you are a content maker, content marketer, content anything. The platform comes down to engagement. So what do we do over at Driving Line to drive engagement? Well, all of our engagements are around content that features Nitto tires.
Right.
So think of the earned media value for a tire company to put out a video called Driver Battles, where a guy on a Civic takes on a guy on a GTR, and everyone is debating, saying, hey, my friend has this 8-second Civic. Wow, I could beat you. And it just goes on, 300 or 400 comments per video. All those that entire conversation is around a video that is solely around Nitto tires.
Yep.
I mean, some feature some Koenig wheels. Hey,
nice.
Fantastic. Yeah. But really, that entire conversation is around Nitto tires. And for Driving Line or Nitto to put that conversation on another platform that they don't own is almost impossible. So that's why Driving Line exists. And those people, while they're commenting on the video, sharing the video, whatever, that puts Nitto tire at the top of mind. It puts Nitto tire in part of the purchasing decision. One thing that I did want to, a stat I saved for this podcast is 78% of purchasing decisions are made by watching a YouTube video. E-commerce purchasing decisions.
That is really a big thing, especially, you know, I don't want to say if you're a YouTuber, but if you're a business out there or if you're trying to, you know, figure out, you know, how do you connect with people, if you're selling merch, if you're doing that whole thing, the influencer experience right now, currently, right as you're watching, you know, as this has been published, is still very, very relevant. It's a very relevant scene.
Right.
Yeah. But so let's talk. We know what that means for a business, right?
Sure.
We know what that means for maybe a company like us or a company like Nitto to work with influencers.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for us, before we kind of look at it, of course, there's an exposure value. We have a slightly different outlook than I think a lot of other companies.
Sure.
We won't deal with any other YouTubers, influencers, etc., if there's not going to be a long-term relationship.
Of course. Why would you?
Right.
Flash in the pan.
Well, because there's a lot of companies out there that are going for that bang for the buck, the quick hit, and stuff like that, and it's not something we do. So just putting that out there for everybody that has a YouTube channel, I want you to be very clear. We look for long-term relationships and stuff like that. But
most brands will. However, there are platforms that will pay you as an influencer to do this one video that highlights whatever brand, and then you're done. But
you've seen them. They're in the ads that people do this. They stop about the thing and they talk about.
But where's the equity there?
You know?
Where's the relationship? And that's not the game you're trying to play.
No, right. But there's another piece to this with the content, right? What does it mean for you as an influencer?
Right.
What does it mean for you as somebody that's developing content for YouTube, for the YouTube platform right now, right? And so when you try to put your channel together, what are some things that you really need to consider and in the type of content you're putting out?
Well, I think the first thing before you get into that is you got to have the goals with your channel.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, the number one question I ask, because I've been doing this for like 15 years, hey, Mike, how do I break through the noise on YouTube? How do I finally get the algorithm to like me?
Right, right.
When you're a brand new person starting out, it almost seems impossible. How do I get to 2 million views overnight? There are a few things, right? First of all, it all comes down to engagement, but we'll get into that. We've already covered that. When you're a new person, I don't want to give away the secret why I keep a job, but what you should do is you should find things that resonate to you that are definitely popular enough. You probably not obscure, but popular enough that you know you're the expert in the subject. But if you are not the expert in the subject, a great way to start to get over the hump, to get that initial spark, is to collaborate, to team up. And that's why Koenig teams up with some influencers and YouTubers, because if Koenig were to put out this video about whatever, Decagram, Hypergram, probably get 300 or 400 views. You do a video with BS Rebuild, you're at 2 million. And that gets Koenig front of mind in front of all these people, and that's a nice spark. And of course, you can have BS Rebuild say, hey, go to the Koenig YouTube page, the full video is there. You can do all these things.
Yep.
But the first thing is define the goals of your channel, and then let's figure out ways for you to achieve the goal. It's not always by yourself. So that would be one of my big methods of advice. Then get into the engagement. Then get into, hey, this is what people on my channel are starting to see, starting to like. I'm going to start feeding them what they like. But at the very beginning, you kind of have a blank slate, but you don't know where to start. So this is a good starting point.
Yeah.
Then once you get that out there, let's go ahead and create content based off what resonates within the channel.
Yeah. And so we've kind of jumped around a little bit here, but there's a common theme that's threading its way through, and that has a lot to do with content and engagement, right? This is about the depth of a conversation versus the width of a conversation.
Right.
And when we say that stuff, we're talking about width being likes or follows or et cetera.
Sure.
And the engagement is the piece where you're getting comments and actual people that are giving you a lot of thoughtfulness with their time and with the things that they're sending into you, right?
Totally.
To interact.
Mm-hmm. I can't even count how many comments around the Koenig Instagram were saying, hey, where do I buy these? Hey, because they know they can get the response from you and say, here's where you buy them.
Right.
That's fantastic.
And you know, and things like looking for fitment advice or even asking questions about will this be available, the fact that we as a company can reply back to you and give you an honest answer. And let me go one step further. That engagement, you know, when we have a couple new wheels at this right at this point that we've released, right? And those two new wheels, we probably more than ever before.
Yeah.
We have all these race teams and different people that are on our wheels, everybody that's on, you know, social media, whatever it may be, that have taken the time to send in very thoughtful comments about things that they have with the product. This would be better. This could be cool. This could be better. I would love it if it fits this.
I do it to you all the time.
No, I know. but you know, when it comes down to those comments, this year more than ever, we worked in a lot of that thoughtfulness into the development of these new wheels.
Sure.
And, you know, in some of the styling actually is reflective of that, you know, pushing the face out a little bit further, allowing a little bit more clearance in certain drop centers, especially on concave wheels where we know that the caliper clearance is decreased. But that came from the depth of the conversation, not how many likes we got on the post.
No.
Right? And so I think for people that are putting out content, people that are looking for sponsorship, people that are saying, I have this many followers and I would like a sponsorship, it's not just about how many followers you have or how many subs you have.
Right.
I mean, there's a base there that has to be there, because if you don't have anybody to show anything to, it's hard to establish that return on investment of value.
Yeah. It's a table stakes stat. That's what we're talking about, right?
Exactly, like, right.
Of course, that's the given. What else?
Right. And so now it comes down to, what kind of engagement are you getting from this folks, and how much of that kind of continues to repeat?
Right.
Is there a common theme that happens to occur within your content? YouTube, Instagram, wherever you are, how much of that content actually returns back and offers engagement for a company? And I think if you really start to think about, when you're developing your own content, which content you can develop that would really resonate with people, that allows for engagement, there's a lot of value there that you can bring to a company.
Right.
And the piece that I think people miss the most is the fact that when you're trying to offer sponsorship, or look for sponsorship, and you say, I have a YouTube channel, I have an Instagram, you know, I have a pretty big Instagram following, I'm on TikTok, wherever it may be. Yeah. It's not just about the likes. It's not just about the number of followers you have. It's about what is the thoughtfulness of your content.
Sure.
What is in your content? What are you trying to accomplish? And what are you engaging? Like, what's your engagement level look like between your audience and the people that are interacting with your content?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. One thing to note, though, as you grow in size, some platforms, that's why you said Instagram will have a cliff and now it's full circle.
Yeah.
As you grow in size, that engagement rate...
Okay.
Diminishes.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Right?
Because it's impossible to be able to scale it.
Right. However, there's still a good amount of engagement and a good amount of influence you can still have. Let's say you have 5 million followers on Instagram and your engagement rate. And I'll give you some numbers, even though I probably shouldn't. But here, say your engagement rate is 8% with 5 million followers.
Right.
Or actually 8% with 10,000 followers. But then 5 million followers, you have 3%. Doesn't matter. 3% of 5 million is still so much bigger than 8% of 10,000. So who cares, right? But... that's okay. And I don't think Scott's saying, hey, based on engagement rate is we're going to improve your thing. It's really what kind of engagement are you getting on the platform? Is this of value?
Sure.
And then why would a brand lean in? Because, again, 78% of those purchase decisions happen to a video, come from a video on YouTube. That's because someone searched whatever, looked at the research, and then read the comments.
Yeah.
Think of an Amazon review. Think of comments on an Instagram page. Think of the last time you searched comparing a camera or a knife or whatever, a YouTube video came up.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, okay, cool, I'm going to go with this one because that's how I made my purchase decision. And it's safe to say most of the people watching this podcast are in the demographic who are using those things to search for something.
Yeah.
The olden days, probably not. You would just see an ad and buy it. But now people are a little bit more savvy. And because of that conversation on the post, because of the content, that will influence the purchase decision. And when a brand sees that, they'll say, okay, that's actually pretty dang valuable.
Right.
Because for us to buy that engagement, for us to buy that earned media value would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I can help you with support. I can help you get the goals you need. And by doing that, we can work together pretty well.
So I want to bring a little bit more context to your position as far as, you know, working with Nitto and Driving Line, and kind of how the sponsorship thing kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we talked about you were with Super Street.
Yep.
Mike was an editor with Super Street. That's kind of how we...
in charge of their social media as
well.
That's
right. And so that's kind of how we linked up originally.
Yep.
We, as a client, you know, of Super Street, we worked together with them and doing different things and projects, as we have for many years.
Yep.
And then Mike had left there and had made his way over to Hoonigan.
Yep.
Where his entire job... was working with the content creation team to make the content that you watch on Hoonigan.
Before, to put it in perspective, Daily Transmission, season 1, episode 1, was when I was there. So whatever they're on now, I was there when it started.
Right. So that was your job. So you came from being on the side of distributing content.
Right.
Then moving to the side of creating content.
Correct.
And now you're on the side of actually making content and helping create content, but working with influencers to be able to help also distribute content.
Correct. Also maintaining a content distributing network of our own.
Yeah.
So it went from like one to two to three to like the flower just bloomed. And now there's kind of a universe around Driving Line. Well, you know, it's easy to say, oh, Driving Line, I've heard of it, but they're really not top of mind. The reason why Driving Line exists and the reason why we even have this conversation is the space in which Driving Line operates is very valuable for now and moving forward. The space that magazines made their name on is not as valuable anymore. And I don't want to throw magazines under the bus. However, just in terms of brunt of the market, where are you consuming your content? You're consuming it online. You're consuming it on some sort of TV or YouTube or on a phone.
Yeah.
You're not opening it up and reading a magazine or a newspaper or whatever it is. And that's why Driving Line exists, because Nitto recognizes that and says, okay, crap, let's make an entire network based on content distribution and let's work with brands and get their names out there. Right. And if a brand isn't doing that now, or if you're not into that fold now, you are going to fail.
Yeah. What are the type of things that you guys think about, like, over at Driving Line when you're producing your content?
Yeah.
Because I know we've talked about many different...
Okay.
Yeah, you've talked about so many different, you know, we've kind of... And I know, like, some people watching it may feel like we're jumping around, but understand that there's common themes that are weaved in here.
Totally.
And so let's now start talking about the types of content.
Where do you start?
Yeah. Yeah, and so... But with Driving Line, you guys have an approach of kind of putting out a lot of mixed types of content,
totally.
Right? You mentioned the show that you guys put out.
Yeah, Driver Battles.
Yep.
And NCO ones.
In addition to that, you also do a lot of long format content, right?
Yeah.
So tell me that the mindset with Driving Line when they're deciding kind of what they're going to focus on.
So I'm going to give you guys a quick little cheat sheet on platforms, because you'll probably take this and it'll become your little flashcard Bible. But here we go.
I like this.
So every time we create or decide to make a piece of content, this is really the meat and potatoes of this episode, so I hope the camera doesn't cut. every time we decide to create a piece of content, we define the goal. What tire is it? So Driving Line exists because of Nitto. So we showcase Nitto tires. So what tire is this highlighting? Okay, it's highlighting a truck tire. Where are most of our truck audience right now? Our truck audience on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Okay, let's say we're choosing YouTube. What are people on YouTube searching around truck tire content? Then we find out search volume terms. We find out what are they doing. Turns out they like to search and go off-road and trails.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So now we have a tire we're highlighting. We have a platform we're highlighting. Now what kind of content are they're searching? They're searching for trails. Cool. We're going to make... This is a very smart approach. We're going to make content that covers those three things so it has the best chance to succeed.
So I'm going to slow this down for people.
Yeah.
Because I think that you just covered a lot of things real fast.
Yeah.
Basically, if you're a content creator or if you're looking to try to put content out there and you're looking like, what do I do, right? Because we asked that question before. What do I do? Where do I start?
Yeah.
This is what Mike's basically saying is you can start with a platform, like, you know what you're trying to accomplish, right? So especially if you have a product. All right, where does the demo or the target for this product lie?
Right.
Right? All right, here's the platform. Okay. Now it determines the type of content I want to make, right? Long format, short format, medium format, whatever.
So Instagram, not really good for long form unless IGTV. YouTube's fantastic for long form. TikTok's good for short form. Snapchat's basically dead.
Right.
Twitter's good for news. And then Reddit, it was really great, really, really fantastic platform. However, you really got to approach that one pretty carefully. Long-form discussions is good. And then web is more of search volume. So there's your cheat sheet.
So you have these formats, and then you're going to take that format, and then you're going to apply that to, you know, a given platform.
Yeah.
Right? So with Driving Line, do you have any things that you're kind of trying? Like, there's a lot of trial and error.
Always.
And so people should try to mix up their content 100%. Formats to see what pulls, what does not, where does the value lie in engagement? Where does the value lie in likes, et cetera, right? So how do you guys determine kind of what is going to be, what kind of things are you trying that are new for you?
Right.
And what do you think you've seen success in as far as pulling?
Sure. So I'm going to tell you this, and some, I'm sure we're going to get some entire company copycats telling you, but I don't care. For example, if we're trying to achieve a goal, and it all comes down to goals, which we talked about, but if we're trying to achieve a goal of activating younger demo on Instagram, because we already have quite a good Instagram following, and we know a picture of a car hits, but a moving picture of a car or a video hits better. But a rendering does three times the engagement because people just love to talk about it. So what we're trying is, hey, there's a new tire coming out. It hits this demo. They're a little bit younger. They live on Instagram. They're image-based. Okay, all those signals are for Instagram. And they love renderings. So then we hire a team of rendering artists, XXXXX, to render vehicles with these tires on them with whatever wheels on them, push it out into our feed. Some will get made into videos, some will get made stay as photos. But those, that earned media value, that amount of reach, that amount of engagement, those amount of comments, crush any photo. Then if you think about it, the reason why we did that is in order for us to create a photo shoot with a hot, great photographer, get a vehicle, think of the cost to the brand. Think of like, I got to supply this guy tires. I got to hire a photographer. I got to get a location where I could just get a rendering artist and go, boom.
Yeah, and just pay him that one
give me some options here. Make a few versions of this car. Let's put it on the feed. Let's see the conversation around it. That's something we're trying.
Yep.
And you're going to say, oh, renderings. Okay, I'm going to make renderings. I'm going to make rendering. No. What I'm telling you is the reason how we got to renderings is we knew it. For these goals, for this demo, for this tire that's based on image, that's based on this young demo, they like renderings, so we're going to give them what they like. So that's really the golden rule here is listen to the signals on the platform. There's an analytics reporting tool on every single platform out there. Find the signal and exploit the signal.
Yeah.
And that's really why I have a job.
Yeah. That was a lot in a nutshell that we covered. So this may be one of those ones for people that are really trying to produce content and trying to structure their content and trying to figure out, you know, what kind of things that they need to do.
Yeah.
They may want to rewatch some of it, right?
We might want to rewatch it, or we could do a follow-up because each platform has their own strategy. And there's going to be a book on each platform. And there's a podcast within each platform. And then there's podcasts on strategies within each platform.
Absolutely.
So this is a nice high-level discussion. Really, just the takeaway is, you know, what are you bringing to the table? How deep of the conversations can you provide? And what signals are you listening to allow brands to reach into you?
Yeah.
If you can get that part down and you're like, okay, what's the next steps? And that's a good next.
Yeah. I mean, I know we've said it a few times just like this, but I mean, you have to really consider like, you know, what is the value of a like, a follow, or a subscribe if you're not getting people to consume the content and to interact with it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really it. And so, full circling this back to people to make it useful for sponsorship, I think it comes down to when you go to promote your channel, when you go to ask a company to sponsor you because you have a YouTube channel, because you have an Instagram account or whatever it may be, like start looking at your content. Is your content something so that you're creating so that people can engage with you?
Right.
And when you put that content out, are you doing a good job with engaging with them back?
Right.
Because brands will look at all of these things.
Oh, yeah. A smart brand will.
Right, sure. And so there's a lot more to just throwing up a picture and I got 1,500 likes on it.
I got 4 million followers and 300 likes a photo. We all know that's bogus. You should. That's a huge red flag.
That's a whole other podcast in itself.
That's a huge red flag.
But, all right, we'll knock that out. I mean, just a basic touch on that.
Engagement rate.
If you're sending in a proposal and you're using your sponsorship, you're using your YouTube channel or your Instagram account or whatever it may be, and you have a large number of likes and your engagement is terrible, most good companies will be able to read right through that and understand that that is not a real following.
And they will run away fast. You'll be blacklisted.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, be smart about what you do. Yeah. Be smart about the content you create. Be thoughtful about what you're trying to develop.
Right.
And keep an eye. You know, it's real quick just to, especially with Instagram and some of the TikToks and stuff like that, it's real quick to make these quick blips of you know, likes, right? But think long picture, like think long term.
Yeah.
Think about what you want your message to be. If somebody was going to turn your Instagram account or your YouTube channel into a book or to a body of work,
right?
And they had to go look at everything you've done from the current date all the way back, what would your story say?
Right.
Right? What would your story tell? And I think if you think about content like that, and you kind of, you know, it's almost like when people say, you know, I develop, like, I'm not worried about the money. I'm worried about the legacy.
Right.
Right? And so I think there's a lot of truth there. You know, I'm pretty big into following Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah,
right?
It's great.
And so you'll probably hear, if you follow him too, there's probably a lot that resonates within that. But totally. Not because I'm trying to copy him, more because I really believe
And he's
it.
A huge proponent of leaning in and getting the vouch within the platform of replying back or retweeting.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
his
yeah.
number one
that's
thing.
That's one of his big things. Yeah. But also, you know, he's really big on the depth of the conversation right. versus the width. And I think there's a lot of thought in playing for legacy, playing for long term,
right.
versus trying to go for the quick hit. And I think it's becoming more transparent now than ever before about which of those content channels and
yeah.
followings is kind of superficial versus what is super kind of in depth.
I totally agree with you. And I think the quick hit goes into the relationship building, and that goes into what was your story.
Yeah.
So if your story is, hey, this guy will take sponsorship or this gal will take sponsorship from anybody, he's really just trying to milk the system and get in and get out, you're blacklisted.
Yeah.
One thing that's huge for Koenig and huge for Scott is, what kind of relationship are we going to maintain? What is 100%. My legacy? What is my legacy? How can I really facilitate this relationship? And you will find more and more brands want to do that moving forward.
Yeah.
And they will. And if it is a symbiotic relationship, and let's say you know you're not going to get a million views per video, but you can really provide a lot of value. You have a huge amount of engagement. You have so many questions up the wazoo. That kind of stuff can, if you can continue that on, the brands are cool. They're not like your boss. They want to work with you because they see your value. And so you don't need to be stuck to them if you communicate to them, hey, this is my whole shtick. This one will fit on this project, but you know what, guys? This project is really not going to fit. I don't want to burn the bridge. Let's talk about something else. I have another project coming up in the future. That
yeah.
keeps you in their good grace. But if it's just a thanks for the wheels, I don't hear from you. You made one video. I didn't hear from you for 2 years, and now you're asking me for wheels again? Uh-uh. It doesn't work that way. It's a relationship.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's definitely a give and a go. So, and every company, and I've said this on other sponsorship podcasts, every company has a metrics or initiatives or something that they're trying to do, and you're not always going to match up to that.
No.
And that's okay. I think as long as you're true to yourself and your content is, you know, kind of true to the things that you're trying to put out, and again, that goes back to the legacy, that
yep.
goes back to, you know, if your you know, Instagram was a book, you know,
yeah.
if it was your book, what would your story say?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you really stay true to yourself, you put out really good content and find the brands that really connect with you and will connect with
right.
your content, I think you've done yourself a solid deed.
I think so, too. And by doing yourself a solid deed, not only does it increase your value, your perceived value, it increases your likelihood for other brands to lean in. So
yeah.
make sure you take that away, too. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah. I think we gave them enough. I want to circle back around with some of these topics kind of a little bit
yeah.
more specifically. And I know that it felt maybe like we jumped around a lot. I'm trying to squeeze as much information on some of the content development into a short period of time. So, you know, comment below if you're on YouTube, if you're on iTunes, go
yeah.
over to YouTube and comment. Let us know if there's anything, like really specific things out of this that you would like to hear a lot more on.
Yeah.
And we can relink on that.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I'll jump in the comments too. I mean, we just talked about the value
right.
of it. So if
yeah.
there's any lingering questions, hey, you guys went really fast. You started at kind of step 5 instead of step 1. What's
yep.
step 1? What's step 10? Drop those in the comments. This is really a conversational piece here. This isn't a, hey, comment, like, and subscribe. No, no, no. This
yeah.
is, if you got questions, we're here to answer them. And I'll jump in and tag team those with you.
Yeah, but, I mean, still like, comment, and subscribe.
That too.
Right. So.
I have a question. I don't know if you want to do this.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Here.
I like this.
Feels like Dr. Phil.
Very interactive. Yeah. Are we
talking to Phil?
Yes, Steve Harvey.
All right, so yeah, so we already did the ending, but Nick's got a question.
All right, so I have a question. So before you mentioned, and Sam's gonna take over the thing. I wish we were vlogging this, but it's all right. So, anyways, so before you mentioned, you're talking about looking up like information for trucks. Like that was the example that you used, and you mentioned like you'll look at YouTube or Instagram or Facebook or see like where the most truck engagement stuff was.
Sure.
Where do you get the analytics and stuff like that from?
Good question.
And I was thinking about that before, but I'm gonna jump behind the camera now. So here's your microphone back.
How do you stay employed, Mike?
No.
Okay, so that's a great question, and I glazed over this at 100 miles an hour. But every single platform has their own analytics tool built in. So YouTube, if you are an advertiser on YouTube, which you don't really have to spend any money, just open a Google Ads account.
Right.
You can look up search volume within the platform. Instagram, super easy. Look up the hashtag, right?
Yep.
That's how people are searching.
Right. It tells you the number right there when you do the search.
Right. TikTok, really kind of hard to see that, so you really won't be able to get insights into that platform. Facebook, same thing. If you type in some sort of topic on Facebook, they will give you so many results. They'll give you video views. They'll give you Facebook groups. They'll give you posts.
Yeah.
And then you can see how many views are on the video, how many people are in the Facebook group. So, like, that will get you the signal.
But there's also a very primitive way to do this, especially when it comes down to YouTube, and that is if you're putting in a topic or a specific topic, you're looking for things that are very similar as far as that topic goes, looking at the view count, then go look at the engagement numbers that you have on that given video.
Super easy to do.
And so you kind of are reverse engineering kind of the content you're doing. Now, what I would say for anybody that's kind of developing some YouTube content, and this content, and this is a little bit more practical advice, right?
Sure.
Sometimes I almost feel like we should take our own advice, but
we're
on a different game. We're on a different game with this stuff, and we're pushing it out for a brand that's kind of has a purpose. If you are trying to develop content for somebody, one of the things that you can do is you can look for a topic that kind of is under your wheelhouse, right?
Yeah.
You can find somebody that did a really good job and has a very high view count and has a really good video that's done very well. And instead of trying to take that video and remake that video, you can improve upon that video and you know, not necessarily duplicate the content, but you can make it better.
Yes, that's true.
Right? Not just the same video better. You can try to improve and add to that content and almost jump off of the content that's there. And again, you'll have the view count, you have the engagement right there in front of you without having any
search
tools.
Watch the video, figure out what they missed.
Right.
And then cover that in your video.
And by doing that, you a lot of times can end up developing content that would be more useful and thoughtful. And I know we've said that so many times, for the end user. And that ultimately is what will help your video get kind of put into the mix of things.
Totally. Great example of this is type in any phone comparison, any camera review, any car review.
Yep.
There's more than one video. And all those videos, the ones that push up to the top, have a large amount of views. And that's because one video covers something that somebody didn't, or shot in a different way, or they do it listicle style.
And then YouTube puts it into that referred, you know, it ends up coming up in the same content, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? And that's how you start to get into that mix of the algorithm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's algorithm 101 on top of that.
Yeah.
So, it's super easy to do that. I mean, that's the smart approach here. And as a content creator, if you can find your shtick, once you start doing those things, you'll get signals. You'll say, oh, man, my tutorial on how to install front headlights really bombed. But my step-by-step guide on how to clean your car really took off. I got 2 million views on that.
Right.
People seem to really like this. Let me try and go for another one. And then those become a playlist, and they get recommended. So really, that's a great way to start instead of just make content. Let's start with something that's already kind of in your wheelhouse, already trending really well, and what can you bring to the table?
Right. Solid. Yep. I think we've done it. Do I need to close this thing, or have we already done it? You can just cut it back. Nick's coming back to the camera. He's coming back to the camera.
So we already closed this. I'm probably just going to cut this somewhere in the middle. But
all right, that's good. That's he came to the camera to tell us that. He could have just said it from over there. He didn't need a microphone.
I wanted to be on camera.
All right. You can catch more of Mike over at Driving Line.
Yep.
You can check out their YouTube channel. They put out a lot of content. And you can probably see a lot of that content filter in through the Nitto channels.
Yep.
So check that out. And I don't know. I appreciate you taking some time to sit down and kind of talk through this journey.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. So that's it for the podcast. Head over to koenigwheels.com/podcast. If you haven't already done so, like, subscribe, throw a thumbs up. Fireworks, Hail Marys, smoke signals.
Shout out to Kat.
Right. We'll catch you next time. All right.
Thanks, Nick.
There's no bloopers on the podcast.